The Republican plan to replace President Obama's Affordable Care Act is moving forward on Capitol Hill. Two congressional committees stayed in session all night debating the bill. At the 22-hour mark this morning, around 8 a.m. Eastern, lawmakers on the House Energy and Commerce Committee debated the word freedom and what it means in terms of health care. Here's Oklahoma Republican Mark Wayne Mullen.
Earlier, I don't know, it may have been 21 hours ago, I brought up the fact that premiums across the board have raised by 25%, double digits. Oklahoma, premiums have raised by 76%. In Arizona, 116%. That isn't freedom.
And here's California Democrat Jerry McInerney.
In the wee hours of the night, there was a tone of bipartisanship, and that's gone now. So I'm going to say this. In healthcare, words like freedom, empowerment, and flexibility are code words for shifting costs to individuals. You'll end up paying more with this plan if you can get coverage at all.
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving has been watching all this. He joins us now. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Jeremy.
So we hear there from some people on Capitol Hill, as we said, the bill is moving forward, but at the same time, it's facing a strong headwind from healthcare providers, medical groups, AARP, who have announced opposition to it. How much clout do those outside groups have in this debate?
You know, it ought to be a lot because in the end, all those groups you just cited, particularly doctors and nurses and hospitals, are going to have a lot to do with whether or not this new system succeeds or fails. We've been told pretty often that this is not just about healthcare insurance, but it's about getting people health care. And if that's true, if that really is the Republicans' objective with this replacement, they should be listening to the providers and doctors and nurses who are going to deliver that care.
And within the Congress, we're already seeing opposition from moderate Republicans and also from very conservative Republicans who thinks that the bill is too close to Obamacare. Do Speaker Ryan and the bill supporters have enough support? Will they be able to get enough support to get this thing passed?
They don't have it now, Jeremy, but they are working extraordinarily hard at getting it, and the president is pitching in. They do have a shot in the House, but they're going to have to reassure many of their hardcore conservatives, people like the Americans for Prosperity, the Freedom Works, the Tea Party Patriots, the Heritage Action, Club for Growth. This is the hardcore group that has been pushing against Obamacare for the last 7 years and before, and they don't like the replacement bill. So you've got maybe two dozen, three dozen people who are real tough sells on the right, and they can only afford to lose 21 votes because the Democrats probably won't produce a single vote for this bill.
And what about in the Senate?
Well, that's really where the problem is, and I think a lot of these House members don't want to be hung out to dry voting for something that may not be popular with all of their constituents just to have the Senate say no. And it is a problem of another order in the Senate. You have people like Rand Paul coming out from a libertarian perspective and saying it's Obamacare light or 2.0. You have moderates like Rob Portman saying, how is this going to affect the Medicaid expansion in Ohio, where I'm from and where John Kasich was pretty cooperative. And then you've got people, and this is a real big log on the fire, Tom Cotton of Arkansas,
right,
who suddenly sent out a tweet storm telling people that he's against it and he's got all kinds of problems with it and it's not got any chance of passing in the Senate. So that makes the people in the House feel nervous.
He told them to start over, which I wonder if they're going to listen to him on that one.
Probably not. They're not in any mood to start over because they're trying to jam this through in the window under reconciliation procedures so that they can pass it with
right,
a simple 51 votes in the Senate.
So, Ron, before we let you go, we are still waiting to learn more about how Congress is going to handle President Trump's claim that he was wiretapped by President Obama, which he has provided no evidence to back up. Yesterday, White House spokesman Sean Spicer struggled a little in explaining why President Trump might have been tapped. Here he is taking his first go at that question.
Is the president the target of a counterintelligence investigation?
I think that's what we need to find out.
But later in the press conference, an aide brought Spicer a note, and then Spicer added this.
What I'm saying is, the one question dealt with whether or not the tweet dealt with wiretaps during the thing. The other is an investigation. They are two separate issues. And there is no reason to believe that there is any type of investigation with respect to the Department of Justice.
Ron, explain this, and where does this go from here?
This has been a question from the very beginning. If the president thinks he was tapped or someone was tapping Trump Tower, why were they doing it? Were they doing it because there was some indication enough to get a warrant from a court that said you can do this because we see evidence of crime? evidence of some kind of criminal activity, unspecified? If so, that's going to be a lot of questions for Mr. Trump or his campaign or somebody around Trump Tower to answer. So that's been a question from the very beginning. But here's the thing that they get out of doing this with that tweet storm on Saturday morning. Every minute we spend talking about that is one less we spend talking about the Russian connections to the Trump campaign last year, or so alleged. Mm-hmm. And they're adding fuel to a fire that may just burn longer and a little bit hotter.
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.